are listening to a podcast about the great Danish accordion player, whistle player and composer Rune Barslund, who's living on the Danish islands of Funen. This podcast is part of a project called Øguld Folkemusik i Danmark, Gold from the Danish Islands Folk Music in Denmark, featuring folk music from the Danish Islands. The music that you are hearing behind me right now is being performed by one of Rune's bands, the trio Inmar. Inmar consists of Rune and the English violin player Kevin Lees, plus the Swedish guitar player Simon Nyberg. And this podcast was produced by Radio Folk DK for Mediehaven, the Media Garden, and is being supported by Øernes Kunstfond, the Art Foundation of the Islands. Thank you so much. Rune Barslund was born in 1988. He's a touring musician who plays a lot of traditional Danish and Irish music together with Danish and British musicians, but at the same time he's also a very talented composer. So let's start this mini portrait of Rune Barslund by listening to a set of three tunes called Michael McGoldrick's, Willie Coleman's and The Funky Spider, the first tune being composed by Michael McGoldrick, the second tune being traditional and The Funky Spider being composed by Sylvian Barou. The music is being played by Rune's very first band Kassir, but he'll tell you more about that band in just a few minutes. Thank you.
My name is Rune Barslund and I'm a Danish folk musician. I play the accordion and the tin whistle, and I play a lot of Irish music as well as a lot of Danish and Scandinavian music, so I kind of really like both traditions. I would say I grew up playing Danish music for quite a few years, and then when I was maybe 13, I think, my former teacher, Bent Melvej, who's one of the grand old men in Danish folk music, introduced me to some Irish and Scottish tunes, and I was really hooked from basically the first tune that he taught me. So ever since, I've just really loved Irish and Scottish music, as well as the Danish tradition. So yeah, it's just, I feel like I sit in between those two traditions, basically. And when I was, well, my very first band was actually a duo with my cousin, Alexander Barslund. We played in the local homes for elderly people where Alexander lived, and he played the drums and I played the accordion, and we basically played our own kind of folk rock, and yeah, had a lot of fun with that. But we were very young back then, so my first like real, let's say, more kind of professional band was a duo with a guy from Viborg, where I grew up. He's called Aske Rue, Aske Fuglsang Rue. And we had a duo called Barslund og Rue, and we played together for a few years, and then we met this Boron player who's half Irish, half Danish, who lives in, or back then he lived in Aarhus, and he's called Ocean Walls. And we just immediately really enjoyed playing together, so we decided to invite him into the band, and then we changed the name to Kassir. And half a year later, I think, we recorded our first album called Real Irish in Devon in England with a great producer over there. And then some years later, we recorded another album called Chilling on a Sunday, which is actually the album that we were just hearing a track from, The Funky Spider. So after having released Chilling on a Sunday, we toured and played together for another, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. And then we split because at some point we lived in 3 different countries. I lived in Ireland, Eske lived in Denmark, and Ocean lived in London, and we couldn't really make it work. So, but we had a really great time together, and it's quite amazing to see that the music is still doing very well on Spotify, where we have more than 50,000 monthly listeners at the moment, and that's I can't really understand it, actually, to be honest, but that's just amazing. Eske and I composed quite a lot of tunes for those two albums that I was just talking about, and one of the tunes is a tune called Winter Sky, which is kind of a slow air or something like that. And I've always really liked that tune, but it's just been there for many years because we stopped playing the band, and then I haven't really played it. But then I recently did a music book with 15 tunes. Most of them are from Ireland and Scotland, and then there are 4 of my own compositions as well. And it's a tune that kind of focuses on the free bass accordion. How can you use the free bass, also the stradella bass, but also like really the free bass in Irish and Scottish music, because people in Ireland, for example, they mostly play 2-row accordion, and in Scotland they play the piano accordion with stradella bass. So I thought it could be interesting to introduce the free bass accordion, which has a completely different bass system, where you can do things that you can't do with the stradella bass. So the whole idea with the book is to introduce that and then kind of use those possibilities. So I decided to include Winter Sky in that book because it's I guess it kind of draws on both the Danish but also the Celtic tradition, this tune. So that's the next tune that that you're gonna hear, Winter Sky, composed by me and Aske, arranged for free bass accordion. So here we go. So this was Winter Sky from my upcoming solo album, which features tunes from my book, Celtic Music for Free Bass Accordion, which you can find online. And you can also find a lot of music videos with tunes from the book on YouTube, and you can hear nearly all the tunes on Spotify and other streaming services. And I'm working on recording the last few ones, which is going to be a solo album that I'll release later this year.
But Rune, there's something I need to ask you, because the first tune we played, you were playing the flute, and on this one we just heard you playing the accordion. What is that all about? How can you be that fluent in two instruments?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing the accordion when I was 6 years old, and I started playing in Viborg Music School. And then when I was, I think, 13 or something like that, my dad said, now that you like Irish music so much, why don't you maybe, you know, start to play the Irish tin whistle? You know, this iconic flute from Ireland. And I thought, yeah, well, maybe I'll give it a try. So I got two small tin whistles for Christmas, and then it kind of took off from there, and I started practicing more and more. And then I had many years, actually, also while I was studying in the music academy, where I kind of just played those instruments half-half. So let's say I practiced, if I maybe practiced 4 hours a day, I didn't always do that at all, but just to say something, then I would practice 2 hours on the tin whistle and 2 hours on the accordion. So in that sense, I guess I feel kind of bilingual in some way when it comes to those two instruments.
Yeah. So how did you actually start playing? How was your beginning?
Well, my mom played the fiddle when I was younger. She doesn't anymore now because she's got back problems, but she played back then. And so there was always like folk music in the house because she was practicing, and my parents listened to folk music as well, both Danish and Scandinavian and Irish music. So for me, it was kind of natural just to take up an instrument and play that type of music because I heard it all the time. And for some reason, I just really fell in love with the accordion when I was, I think, already 3 years or something like that. I have an old photograph of me where I think it's for my 3 years birthday, where I got my first little accordion. It's like a toy accordion. And then I think it just took off from there. And then you had to be 6 years old to start in the music school back then. So when I turned six, I just started in the music school. And I had a classical accordion teacher for the first year, but I didn't really want to play classical music. And I didn't want to play from sheet music either. So I had him as a teacher for 1 year, and then I stopped because I didn't really like it. He was a nice guy, but I just didn't like the music back then. And then I took a year's break, and then I started again, but with a new teacher, the guy I was talking about before, Bent Melvay, who's a folk musician. And, you know, it was okay just to play by ear with him. So we did that for many years, actually, which is also why I've never become really good at reading sheet music. But I can do it these days, but it's not my strongest side, you know. So that's how I started, yeah.
Now I'm curious, for the next tune you're going to play for us, is that going to be with you on the lead accordion or flute?
Yeah, that's going to be on the accordion, because I have a duo with a fiddle player, a Danish fiddle player called Andreas Tophøj, and we've been playing together for many years, I think since 2011. And this is a set of two polkas that I've composed within the Irish polka style, basically, because I lived in Ireland when I was, I think, 23 and 24. I lived there for a year. Studied Irish music in the University of Limerick, and sometimes I went down to County Kerry, which is an amazing amazing area for both nature and music, and they have a really strong polka tradition down there that I fell in love with, because, you know, these Irish polkas are just so energetic, and they are actually quite simple tunes and simple melodies, also compared to Danish polkas that are more, complicated melodically. But the Irish polkas just suit my 5-row button accordion so well that I just love playing Irish polkas. So I wanted to compose some tunes within that style. And these two tunes are inspired by that region. So Casey's polka, and then a polka composed for my cousin called Thomas's polka. Thank you. So this was Casey's polka and Thomas's polka, played by my duo with the Danish fiddle player Andreas Tophøj, who I've played with for many years. He's originally from the town of Bramming near Esbjerg in the west of Jutland, and he's a real traditional Danish fiddle player who's very much into the, you know, the Danish and the Scandinavian tradition, and exceptional player in my opinion, and a really great friend of mine. So so yeah, we've been working together for many years, and at some point we decided that although we really love playing together just as a duo, we wanted to, you know, invite other people in every now and then. And I was actually living in Helsinki in Finland for a year, some years back, and I was getting some lessons with Maria Kalaniemi, who's an absolutely fantastic accordion player, and also a piano player called Timo Alakotila. And yeah, me and Timo just, you know, we played music together when I had the lessons with him, and then I had the idea that maybe, you know, we should invite him to play on a few tunes on our next album. So we did, and it turned out really well, because he's just an amazing musician who can just basically fit into whatever, you know, and make it sound amazing. As I was saying before, I'd lived in Ireland some years earlier, and I was talking about this area called County Kerry. And while I lived in Ireland, Andreas actually came over to visit me, and we went down to County Kerry on a little weekend holiday and drove around to see the fantastic sceneries there. And we went to some of the local pubs in the little town Dingle. And when I came back to Limerick, I just felt really inspired by this amazing landscape. So I decided I wanted to compose a tune and dedicate it to this region of Ireland. So I composed a Scandinavian type of tune called a polska, which is a tune in 3/4. And named it the Kerry Polska because there is actually a polka called the Kerry Polka. So back then I thought that this was a kind of fun little game playing around with the name. Today I think it's maybe a little bit more stupid, but anyway, that's the name. That's where the name comes from, and that's the next tune that we're gonna hear. So this is me and Andreas featuring Timo Alakotila playing the Kerry Polska from our album Trails and Traces back from 2020. This was the Carey Polska played by Andreas Tophøy, Timo Alakotila and myself from the album Trails and Traces from 2020.
Rune Barslund, there's something that I would like to ask you again. You compose a lot of music, I can tell. How do you work when you compose? I mean, somebody has to find a special room in their head. They have to find peace somehow in a special place before they can start composing. Other people sit down with a notepaper and start scribbling. But what do you do?
Yeah, I think this idea of going for a walk or cycle and then there's just a tune that kind of jumps into your head is that's quite rare, and it certainly doesn't really work that way for me. So I have to decide that now I'm going to sit down and compose. And I like to have a person in mind or a story or an experience or something like that that inspires me to compose a piece of music. Because then you have somewhere to start with, you know. And then, of course, I decide which type of tune it's going to be. Is it a polka? Is it a waltz, a slower, a jig, or whatever? And maybe also which key, although sometimes I actually play around with the keys and to see where the tune sounds best in. But yeah, then I just, you know, I think the hardest part is actually the beginning of the tune, to have something that's catchy and something that you're happy with. And then it kind of builds on from there. And I'm quite slow when I compose, so I don't necessarily sit down for an hour and then I have a whole tune. Sometimes I sit down and then I have maybe half of an A part or something like that, and then I have to kind of leave it for a day or two and then come back with, let's say, fresh ears and listen again to see if what I'd composed already is good enough. And then I build on more from there. That's often how I do it, actually. So sometimes it can take me a week or two or something like that to compose a tune, because I like to, you know, kind of revisit it many times in the process. And then there are also some tunes that kind of write themselves more easily, and where, you know, the inspiration kind of just comes, let's say, more naturally to you, and you don't really think too much about it. An example of that actually is maybe the next tune here that we're going to hear, which is a waltz that I composed for my parents many years ago, back in 2011. When they had their silver wedding, and I wanted to give them a nice present. I did buy something, but I wanted to also give them something that could maybe last a little longer and that was a little bit more personal. So I decided to compose this silver wedding waltz for them. And I think it's actually one of my best tunes that has been kind of traveling around the world as well, which has been amazing to see that quite a few other musicians, including Tim Eady, for example, and a trio from Ireland with Tara Breen and Jim Murray and Padraig Rinn have recorded it, and a band called The Recollective and some other people all around the world, in Korea and yeah, all these places like. And it's going to be recorded by a Japanese band soon as well. So it's really amazing to see that this tune has traveled so much. And I guess it's because people really like it. So I'd say it's one of my best tunes. And it's just interesting because that tune was quite easy to compose, actually. And maybe it was, I don't know why, but maybe because it meant a lot to me to make a nice present to my parents. So yeah, this is just, you know, one of these examples of a tune that wasn't that hard to compose and that I think I composed rather quickly, within a few days. And I've recorded it several times, but I'd like to give the listener a little different treat here, because I was recently on tour with Mike McGoldrick, Daisy Donnelly, Jim Murray and Andreas Tophøy. We have a project where we tour every second year or something like that. And at some point during this latest tour, me and Jim sat down to record a little video for his Instagram, and he wanted to record this waltz. So we did, and we've taken the sound from this little mobile phone recording so that you can hear it now. So this is me and Jim playing unplugged Vals til morfar. So here we go. So this was Vals til mor og far, which means waltz for mom and dad, played by me and the Irish guitar player Jim Murray. And as mentioned before, Jim and I have been touring together with Mike McGoldrick, Daisy Donnelly and Andreas Tophøy. And we did a tour recently where we also released a new album that the five of us recorded together called Ties That Bind. And I would have liked to play one of the tracks from this album today, but the thing or the idea with this album is that it's only available as a real CD. So, you know, you can't find it online, so you have to actually come to our concerts to buy this album. Yeah, so it's kind of an exclusive limited edition CD. So this one with Jim was the closest that you get to hearing some of that music.
I need to ask you something. How did your mom and dad respond or react to that present of yours?
They became very happy, and I think they still are very happy with it. And that's great, because that was my goal with it, to composer a beautiful tune to show them how much they mean to me, and you know, as a way of saying thank you for all the stuff that they've done for me and helped me with. And you know, I've been blessed with some amazing parents who've just supported me in so many ways in life and with music in general. So I'm really glad that this particular tune ended up becoming one of my best ones, because it was composed for this special purpose. Yeah.
Music is a fantastic gift.
It really is.
Also in this way, it seems.
Totally, yeah. I agree.
Rune Barslund, how is your life? What kind of life are you having as a professional musician? Are you gone all the time, or is it possible to organize so that you can actually also do other things in your life?
Yeah, I until Christmas actually, and it's January now, I've been of course playing many concerts, but also I've been teaching Mondays and Tuesdays, but I've just stopped teaching, so now I'm only going to play concerts because I wanted to try that, because the teaching it's been really great for me and I've enjoyed it a lot, but it's also taking up a lot of time and energy from being more creative on your own. So sometimes I felt that I haven't really had enough time to just compose and play and, you know, focus on my own things rather than having to always spend time preparing for next week's teaching. So yeah, now it's going to be an exciting time for me to just only play concerts and, you know, do videos. I've just started a podcast as well, which I'm not making money from, but again, it does take time to do this stuff. And I want to do more on YouTube as well. Not sure if I can make money from that either, but at least it can still help build my name in both in Denmark, but also outside of Denmark. So I've got lots of interesting projects, I think.
But I know that you have already been traveling quite a lot. How is it being a traveling musician in a world as it looks right now? It is a little crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to be aware of which country you're going to. But I haven't really been going to any countries where there's war or anything like any crazy political stuff going on. So for me, it's worked fine. I've mostly been touring in countries around Denmark. You know, I've toured a lot in England and Scotland and Germany and Scandinavia and all that, and that has been working very well for me, I'd say. And I really enjoy touring, as long as it's not for too long. So 1 week or maybe maximum 2 weeks is what I prefer. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't want a tour for longer if the possibility came up, but I think 1 or 2 weeks is kind of a nice period to be away, and then you know, you can come back and recharge your batteries.
That was our little trip up in the helicopter, as we say in Denmark, looking all over the world. How is the situation right now? Now I would like to take you down to the details. Would you tell me the story about the lost key?
Yeah. So as mentioned earlier in this podcast, I was living in Ireland when I was starting in the music academy. And a few weeks after I moved over there, you know, I'd made some new friends, and they thought it was a good idea for me to learn how to drink Guinness, because I wasn't really into that. So they thought that they were going to teach me how to drink, but also like Guinness. So we went out one night, and I got a lot of Guinness, and I got really, really drunk. And then when I came back to the house where I lived, it was a big house that I shared with 5 or 6 other young people. So we had a room, each of us had a room, and then we shared the kitchen and the living room and all that. And that meant that there was a lot of people going in and out, not just the people who lived there, but also friends and friends of friends and all that. So we usually locked the door to our own rooms when we left, and I'd done that as well. So when I came back, I couldn't find the key for my room. So I ended up sleeping on the living room floor, which was really cold because the houses in Ireland are really cold in the autumn and the winter time. So that wasn't a very pleasant night, let's say. And when I woke up, I had this like bad taste of old Guinness in my mouth, and you know, I wanted to brush my teeth, but I couldn't because my teeth brush was in my room. But I knew that I had some chewing gum in my left pocket, so I reached out for the chewing gum, and then I found my key there. So I'd been so drunk the evening before that I couldn't even find the key, even though it was in my left pocket. And I thought that, you know, that was so stupid that I had to do something to avoid getting into the same situation again. So I composed a tune called The Lost Key to always remind me not to get that drunk again. And that's the tune that we're going to listen to now, that we've put together with another tune called The Bonnie's Hat by an Ilian Piper called David Lim. And this is with my trio, Inver, which is mostly a Celtic kind of project, but we play a little bit of Scandinavian music as well. And it's with Kevin Lees, who's an English fiddle player who lives in Odense in Denmark, where I also live. And this recording is an older recording, actually, with the former guitar player that we used to play with, who's called Matthew Jones. He's from Newcastle, but since then he stepped out of the band some years back, and we've started collaborating with a guitar player called Simon Nyberg from Stockholm. So, but the recording is with Matthew. So this is The Bonnie's Hat and The Lost Key. This was The Bonnie's Hat and The Lost Key, played by my band Inver. And
Rune Barslund, I would like to ask you, why are you a touring, traveling and composing musician? What is so fascinating for you, or what is why is that your choice?
Yeah, it's a good question. Something that I've actually thought a lot about for the last few years. It's basically just because I love playing music, and I love playing concerts and meeting people, and meeting other musicians when you're on tour and playing at festivals and stuff like that. And you know, it's amazing that, you know, that I'm able to make my living from something that I really enjoy. I've had some other jobs as well in the past, that was more like jobs that I had to put bread on the table basically when I was younger, and I just never enjoyed that as much as just playing music, because playing music is, you know, it's still my hobby, although it's also my job. And as my old teacher Karl-Erik Lundgaard, a great accordion player, he used to say that when you make your hobby your living, you also kind of lose your hobby in some way. And I think there's some truth to that, but I still feel that, you know, music is also my hobby. I would be doing it if it wasn't my job. So it's just that I really enjoy it, and I couldn't think of anything else that I'd rather do than making my living from playing music. I'd like to play one more tune from our Inver album before we finish. And this is a set of three reels, actually. And the first one was inspired by an experience I had after a concert with Mike McGoldrick that I mentioned before. We went to a bar after a concert and had a drink. And then we were about to go home, and he said, "Ah, let's just have one for the road," you know, which means let's have one more before we go back. So we had a second beer, and then we went back home. And I didn't know this expression, "one for the road," back then, but I thought it sounded cool, so I decided to compose a tune called "One for the Road," and then it's followed by another reel that I've composed called the Green Reel, which was basically written in acknowledgement of the climate crisis, and to try to put a little bit more focus on that the way that I can do it. And then this set is finished with a reel called Wissahickon Drive, written by a fantastic fiddle player called Liz Carroll. And this set is from the CD Heading Out, and we're actually working on, or we're going to start working on, a new album. So we're meeting up in a few months to record the first few tracks for the next Inver album, and then we'll do a release tour in the spring of 2027. So we're also going to work on booking that tour. And we're really looking forward to getting out and meeting people, because it's always, you know, fun playing live in front of people. We'll of course be playing concerts in between as well, but we are going to work on booking that tour soon. So yeah, we'll finish off with this "One for the Road" set.
Thank you so much, Rune Barslund. Great to talk to you and hear your music. Thanks so much. Thank you.
You have been listening to a podcast about the Danish accordion player, flute player and composer Rune Barslund, and the music in this feature was first Michael McGoldrick's Willie Coleman's and the Funky Spider, performed by Kassir and composed by Michael McGoldrick and Sylvian Barreau. After that we heard Winter Sky, played by Rune Barslund and composed by Rune Barslund, and Aske Fuglesang. Then we listened to a set of two tunes, namely Casey's Polka and Thomas's Polka, composed by Rune Barslund and performed by Andreas Tophøj and Rune Barslund. Those tunes were followed by the Carey Polska, composed by Rune Barslund and performed by Andreas Tophøj and Rune Barslund, and the Finnish piano player Dimo Alakodila. And after that we heard Vals til Mor og Far, Waltz for Mom and Dad, composed by Rune Barslund and performed by Rune and Jim Murray. And then it was the trio Inmar performing The Bunny's Hat and The Lost Key, the first one composed by David Lim and the second one composed by Rune Barslund. And finally Inmar played One for the Road, The Green Reel and Visahikan Drive, the first two tunes composed by Rune Barslund and the last tune composed by Liz Kerr. This podcast is part of a series of podcasts called Øguld Folkemusik i Danmark, Gold from the Islands, Folk Music in Denmark, which is all about documenting and promoting folk music from the Danish Islands. This podcast was produced by Radiofolk.dk, Radiofolk.dk, for Mediehaven, the Media Garden, and was sponsored by Øernes Kunstfond, the Arts Foundation of the Danish Islands. Thank you so much. For more information, check out the website www.andreasrune.dk, AndreasRune.dk, and www.inver.dk, INVER.dk. Please notice that on www.radiofolk.dk you are very welcome to download loads of podcasts about folk music in Denmark, and you can stream folk music 24/7. My name is Morten Alfred Højrup. Thank you for listening.
This is Radio Folk on www.radiofolk.dk. I'm Rod Sinclair from Scotland and Ribe. Tell your friends about Radio Folk, where they can listen to Danish folk and roots music on www.radiofolk.dk.